finished their reasoning to vote on. Well, actually, today actually comes to you, and I'm going to school today more than that. It's about comparing the human brain to a city, you know, with all the electric currents and whatnot, like the neurochemistry and the firing of the cells and impulses. No gridded city, this. No endless sectioned fields of light in sodium rectangles. No planned place you're descending slowly towards. This lightscape simply formed itself. Its messy center splashed there in medieval happenstance, partitioned by what churning channel. Its north side's gully uplands fizzling out and dwindling into jagged blackness. Its flat south plain. Can you sense beyond it the humours of the sea? But this town is you, and these are your desires, pulsed in unstinting traffic through its arteries, through the broad dual carriageways that span its bones and meet in rattled interchanges. Injunctions not even your own mother could unpick, before splitting their brightness into local routes that terminate in capillaries, slope lanes and cross-hatched back-eyes, damp and loved cul-de-sacs. And these are your memories, in city block after city block, switching on and off in unpredictable rolling blackouts, awaiting your descent. You know I can only go with you so far. This is one of those, like a night of nightmares or the birth canal. This pilgrimage must be made solo. Axon to dendrite, cell to cell, in rehearsed flickering circuits, the beta waves move. And what software this contraption is running? Algorithms teased out over the lifetimes of gods. Such programs. You're nearly landed now, nearly down among the pathways that swell and contract as the light pushes through them. I think you know why you're here. The glow reaches up towards you from those passages, rising and receding, arrhythmically, a breathing mist. You're not afraid. You know what you've come here to do, who you must find, the fix you need to apply. But how? And will it be here, dear, where we come down, at your own absolute centre, or in one of those far off glittering suburbs? You're not asleep. Come on.
Thanks, Billy. Next up, we have Jennifer Russell.
This is also you, and it's called War Paint. I spread new paper on tables, arrange the paints, turn on the gas fire. I like the click of it and the matches. The radio is on. A man in a hospital says, they've taken all the blood. I dip my brush in the red and spread it on. I can afford to be generous. They're shooting people in the airport. I add yellow, then metal gray. No blue, surely there is no blue in those skies. People are running over the border. Black, maybe, for the uniforms. Trucks, suitcases. I'm running out of colors. Gaddafi says he will die on Libyan soil. I try to draw an airplane, but I'm not good at machinery. It looks like a bird that's caught fire. Now I add a lot of people crying. And I've got one more. And this is about being a returning emigre, and it's called Back to the Scottish Defender. It came with the hardware. My order to sort of sustain it, I should say. So this is a question of words. It came with the hardware. My imagination programmed with those shapes. There were other beaches, but not this sea, this sea, this place, this left space, solid as rock, long bias could not water down. I got to a place where I could not see the tall white Rockies, though the string of West Coast Island is wired together by the calm ferries, crossing water, all shaping the memories of my children, hot wiring them to feel and see those rocky outcrops, their place, the stretched Pacific Sea, not cramped around a small watery island, but taking the shape of new worlds. I came back to this small rock. Water streams down its surface most of the year, making shapes of the riverbeds, heading west to the sea. Returning is as dangerous as barbed wire. It places demand to be happy, or at least to shape up and make a life not watered down by nostalgia. I place long roots in the soil, wire up a new program, and see if I can make it work.
Thanks so much, Jennifer. Next up we have Grant Burgess.
This is a bit of a reverse Carpe Diem poem. It's called Water, Sunlight, Soil. Men, my bold, silent men, you with the bones like branches, like old, old oaks. You with the prints yet worn from your fingers. You with the grease or the guns or the guilt. You, my men, who are shadows shaking the walls of unpeopled houses, of single dinners and coarse winters and these cigarettes in your beards. You of short answers and swift escape from pitied, littered people on the streets when you pass, when they ask for change. You, my bold, silent men, when you bound your boots in, smelling of something like squinting out the light of the moon. My silent men, when you open those hands, filthy with the day and weighed by years of use, big and ugly, do not think them too sad to grab and grab for another's. And when you catch hold, my fathers and my brothers, let the coarse tears across those tips lightly pass into the flesh of a lover. Let those old, old oaks explode like the first spring, like a million leaves, like your love, old man, is all the water, sunlight, soil this tree will ever need. Light two candles or light none and sing in the light with your lover's tongue, or burn beautiful in the night in an old home with old voices laughing words that are young. And when the moon makes you see your love, don't sleep, don't wait, men, but force open those blind eyes and see, see, see. Let those winters drive you to arms, my sad, silent men, and let those arms make you useless but to be held. Be weak sometimes. Be scared, men. Open up those rocky hands. Don't sleep, don't waste, don't wait, but breathe, breathe, breathe it in. Thanks.
I have to apologize, but I think the next name, I just really apologize, is Michal Roche. Yeah. Is that right? Okay.
Called Just Be. Trees, shrubs, flowers, all they want to be is themselves. Have you ever seen a tulip pretend to be a rose? What's up with us as humans, only God knows. Who might write a poem? Surely Oscar Wilde thought the same. My mind starts to wander. I'm an egomaniac, selfish madman. Someone say the traits of a genius. Rich, I'd be labeled an eccentric. Poor, they'd call me psychiatric. Neither are correct, and I say I agree to it.
Thanks, Michael. Next up we have Connor McManus.
Love poem to Christina. I watched you.
Sorry.
This is very serious. I was going to try and do this
sorry,
off by heart.
Sorry, I apologize. Okay. Sorry.
I watched you as you walked in. You were more beautiful than your portrait. Read it, no? I am love, you whispered. I am love. I am love. I am loved. You whispered with your eyes. And together we sung harmonies unsung. You, a she fairy, whispering with your eyes. I, a wordsmith without a tongue. You left early to catch a red eye and hinted that you might return. But you left a memory scar. And all week long, I played with sticks and leaves on your body.
I do have to apologize, Connor. I don't normally give out some people, but only the people that know me do I give out to. I apologize. And it's pure jealousy because Christina is some otherworldly fairy goddess, and it's just. Yeah, she was a presence. She was just in the Cork Spring Literary Festival. I apologize for my outburst. It will not happen again. Okay, so the outburst free next introduction would be for Seamus Harrington. Welcome.
I don't think this would cause any outburst, Jennifer. Thanks. Kenmare. He met her at bridge in Kenmare. This lightkeeper knew solitaire. One gin on the rocks, she's loosening her locks. Her flat had a circular stair. Glengarriff. Secret Paul Gorham fading astern. Our muted oars can't drown a stream's gurgle. See that mackerel sky. As we meet the open basin, a head breaks the surface, bulbous and slick, bristling of whiskers, ensnared in the moonlight. A bark to starboard, an answer, a beam, splash astern, grunt abreast, colony lying on adjacent sea rock. In this school we pause, immersed in aquatics, eavesdropping. Smoothly, our mile to our mooring, we all know well the sacrilegious outboard must remain tilted and still. And this is an old one. Blind Harbour, still dragging her anchor a half cable closer, the deep laden freighter, on this coast a stranger, off sheer headland shoulder, drawing that extra meter, lacks sea room to enter the mouth of Blind Harbour, but shrieking with laughter, sly wreckers that Easter, ignore pleading father, race past me his verger, surviving narrator. Damn fog growled the skipper, first sensed the equator. He grabbed his sou'wester from hissing by panger, reefs under our counter, soon feeling our rudder, the breaking waves mitre. At poop deck crew muster, their courage won't falter, expecting no quarter from each shameless vulture. Invoke Neptune's daughter, stave off that grim reaper. At flotsam high water, mean hearts pounding faster, guide reading her hamper, and high on the danger, cliff scaling rope ladder, where many a coaster, sea hound, a fleet clipper, and that herring drifter known as Ocean Venture, like fruits of their cooper, was roiled to a splinter, each lamp trusting sailor, misled by a traitor, like lambs to the slaughter. And last August I was on Greenwich Pier waiting for a ferry, and this started. Greenwich. Off Greenwich Pier, these buoyant cats, transporting groups, those rooster tails re-criss and cross on frequent trips. On Greenwich Pier, where green heart piles would groan and strain when pressed by ships of larch on oak in meaner times. On Greenwich Pier, before the snows, a pack of sticks behind the steps to stir the drinks in paper cups. By Greenwich Pier, a hive of work from rubber stock to smart for peak beneath her cloak, the cutty sark.
Please welcome Erin.
In 2009 I did a walk across Spain called the Road to Santiago Compostela. It's a pilgrimage from various places, but I began in France, and walked to Santiago, was about 500 miles, 820 kilometers. And I'm writing a book about a man who travels the world making balloons. The book's called Tales of the Balloon Man, One Man's Journey of Creative Discovery. And I've got a lot of stories. I did a storytelling show back in November, and I haven't got time to do it fully, but I'll try and get it. So I'm going to tell a story about the Road to Santiago. So while I was on the Road to Santiago, I met a group of men who I'll call the Aupa family. And what I mean by the Aupa family is every time I was walking up a hill, they'd be behind me and they'd go, Aupa! 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 I was, what the is going on? Like, I'm walking with a stick and I've got a beard and I'm on a pilgrimage and these guys are football chanting, you know? And it's just like a football chant, but it became a theme of this group that we hung out with. So we walk together and walk along the road and we'd go out, we make a signal to the truck driver and he'd go onk onk and we'd go Aupa! That was the vibe. So one day we were in coming from Leon, which is in northern Spain, and we're going on to the next village, and we came down to this little backcountry lane, and one of the guys had kind of damaged his leg, so he was bathing his leg in the stream. I was sorting out my bag and we were just preparing our things to go on to the next town. And about 5 minutes sitting down there, this man, this Spanish guy, came down the back lane on a red Honda motorbike, 4x4. And he got talking to the guys in Spanish, I didn't speak Spanish, and he left. And the guys saw it really excited. And I said, Aaron, do you know what just happened? I said, no. He said, he's going now to go and get us 50 euros worth of cannabis. I don't smoke, but they did. So I was okay. So I'm sorting out my bag and plodding about doing my thing. And 5 minutes later, shooting man comes down and he hands the bag to a guy called Jagamon, one of the Italian guy who I was with. Jagamon takes the package, puts it in his pocket, gives the man the 50 euros. The man takes the 50 euros. Enrico, the other Italian guy, gets handed the split. He takes the split, takes and inhales it, turns around and does 180 degrees, and two Spanish Guardasville cops drive down the back lane. Guns, helmet, motorbikes, cannabis, tension. It was almost like it was like a play, and we all knew what to say, we all knew what to do, we all knew how to act. And this is a setup, this guy has totally set us up. So I'm sorting out my bag, they're speaking back and forward to the cops in Spanish, and I'm just confused by this whole thing. So what felt like 15 minutes, but it was probably 3 minutes. After a while, the cops went into their motorbikes, got their water bottles out of their motorbikes, went to the stream, filled up their water bottles, put their water bottles back into their motorbikes, got on their motorbikes, off the country lane and went back onto the road. And we were just shocked, couldn't believe that this had happened. It was, we thought, you could smell it, it was the stench of the cannabis was everywhere. And Jagamon had told me, he said, he's training to be a lawyer in Italy, and he said, if I'd been caught, that was my career over. So it's a very short story. I don't have time to go into it anymore, but there you go. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Aaron. Next up we have, not Sue, but Joe Beck. My apologies.
Sorry, I didn't. Okay, here we go. They were happy people, but the world killed them. Their customs and ways were odd. They didn't understand colour, borders, and money. They looked for beauty in the world. The world was beautiful, but borders are more important.
Thanks, Joe, for your patience as well. Next up, I promise his name is not Tig. In fact, it is Taj. And it is also last call. Welcome, Taj.
There was a lovely girl here last week, right? I think her name was Madeline, and she read a poem called Smell of the Poet. And she was very much referring to the male of the species. And so, on my way home, this thing started coming out of my head. Look it down and say, right, sorry she's not here tonight. I'd love to hear, she might just be in her sweet version of it. Called Smell of a Poet. Rank balsamic vinaigrette, I imagine, at the other end of hayloft, musing at the smell of us. The shape of a poetess, she posed, poised on the mic, passive and protected. Unsheath your dagger, cut at the different shape of us. The look of a poetess. Notebook in hand, huddled around the microphone, heaving outlines of astute observations and scolding playfully, expecting appreciation and no retort. Looking inwards at us, everyone, dressed like a poetess. I would chide you and chide you, call it curiosity, until I knew the real smell of you, undressed poetess. This one is for my wife. Okay, I need to do this balanced book. She'd kill me. So just to make sure that doesn't ever happen. Where I paint my life in words for them, across this blank page, this canvas, my first word and last word, you. And all that would have meaning in between, more you, the only one, to stand with me like you, to hold me steady like you, to ache for me like you. When far away, I feel the closeness of you. My life before you now seems obscure, all colour tales translucent by the radiance of you. Of Frida, of Mona, of Venus, all you are fade to you. These retinae, with tint of rose, a gift from goddess, that I might properly see you.
It was lovely. Thanks very much. And the acknowledgement of the two impulses is lovely. But maybe, yeah, slightly collective if the voice is here. Okay, and so for the final reading, we're very lucky to have Donald Harding.
I was lucky enough to compliment and impoverish the family and my parents did the best they could for us, and this is a real reminder to the black and small things poem, which was called This Be the Verse. This one is called This Be Me. They don't fuck you up, you do yourself, by expecting everything to fall into your lap from their own shelf without effort from you at all. It is their need to crave for you essentials that they never had, and anxiety or want, it's true, only upsets your mum and dad. And when you have kids of your own in your parents' hard-earned house, do not imagine they will frown or that you should make excuse. Thanks.